Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are marking 75 years of the Nakba, or catastrophe. Other commemorations are planned around the world, including at the UN's headquarters in New York. In 1948, Palestinians were forcibly displaced from their homeland to enable the establishment of the State of Israel. Zionist forces killed thousands of Palestinians, destroyed hundreds of villages, and expelled 80% of the Palestinian population. Well, Sarah Khairitz at the demonstration in Ramallah's Al-Manara Square. Talk us through what's been happening, Sarah.
Yeah, well, at the moment, there's the Nakba march, which is held every single year. They have speeches, as you can hear just behind me. We've seen scouts pass through with flags, Palestinian flags, to mark 75 years where 750,000 Palestinians were displaced, more than 500 villages were destroyed. And now the diaspora of Palestinians that have now live outside of Palestinian land is looking at like 7 million Palestinians. Now, this situation hasn't changed, but I want to hand over to a Palestinian herself who can talk more about what it feels like to live under occupation. We have Ines Abderrazak from the Palestinian Institute for Public Diplomacy. How has things changed for you over 75 years? Your family were displaced. You said many of them now live abroad. What does that feel like for you and your family?
Yeah, I would say for Palestinians, the Nakba had never ended. We talk about ongoing Nakba, the Nakba al-Mustamirre, because if you see 5 million Palestinians are still refugees, my family could never return to Palestine, and you will see people here who still live in refugee camps who come to commemorate what is effectively the lack of freedom that we still have, and we're still longing for return.
What does that lack of freedom look like on a daily basis? I mean, the occupation is increasingly taking more land from Palestinians. What, for our international audience, what does that actually mean on a day-to-day basis?
So the mass expulsion that happened in 1948 takes different forms today. The settler colonial project, the colonial project of the Israelis to replace the Palestinian native population with Jewish settlers, is ongoing in different areas, in Masafariyata, in Beta, in East Jerusalem, where you have many Palestinians just fighting to remain in their lands, and many refugees who are still fighting to go back to Palestine because we are one people.
Yesterday, I was speaking to an older lady. She's in her 80s. She was talking about how they were displaced from a place called Lid, which is now it's in Tel Aviv, effectively. She really hopes for the right for return. As someone who's from a younger generation, what do you feel about that? And what are you doing, especially with your advocacy internationally, to push that narrative forward?
Yeah, I think the right of return is an inalienable right of the Palestinian people. And the new generation is still, you know, fighting to return. We're one people. So the Israeli occupation has deliberately fragmented us in so many geographic areas, in different administrative ID and systems. But what we're doing today in the new generation is fighting for the unity of the Palestinian people and fighting that forced fragmentation and basically saying that the Palestinian culture, the Palestinian identity exists everywhere in the overall territory between the river and the sea.
Thanks very much, Ines. Well, just earlier today, one Palestinian was killed in occupied West Bank at a refugee camp, which is one of many, one of 19 refugee camps that's run by UNRWA, which is the UN Refugee Agency. And these kind of raids we're seeing are happening on a daily basis, as well as demolitions of Palestinian homes and even schools, which all goes against international human rights. Back to you, Rob.
Sarah, thank you very much indeed. That's Sarah Khaira talking to us from Ramallah. Well, let's hear from some of the Palestinian refugees recounting their stories of survival during the Nakba.
They came in like a downpour of rain. We went and hid from the shooting, which continued until the next day. Then the elderly, women, youth and children stayed until they entered the houses and took us prisoners. The situation was deplorable. I cannot describe to you the catastrophe that befell us. We did not get out easily or without loss. Our blood was shed, but until today, I have not forgotten any piece or inch of my country.
Perhaps I will return to Yaffa or our homes in Lead, perhaps my grandchildren or my children, but we will definitely return. But when and how, only God knows that.
We're going to bring in Hannah Nashrawi. She's a Palestinian politician and civil society leader. She was previously a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization's Executive Committee. And she's joining us on Skype from Ramallah. Very good to have you with us on Al Jazeera. I want to ask you about the fact that the UN is marking Nakba Day. How significant is the fact that they're taking this move?
It is, of course, significant in a more symbolic way than any other way, because the UN has been acting symbolically but not effectively. However, it is one expression that says we do recognize the Nakba, we do recognize Palestinian history, Palestinian reality, the disaster, the catastrophe, the tragedy that befell the Palestinians at the creation of the State of Israel on their land. And therefore, it is the antidote to all these disgusting celebrations at the creation of the State of Israel as though it was a masterful, positive, creative event, rather than looking at the horror of the victimization of the Palestinian people. So this recognition is important. It's a message also that the rest of the world have not forgotten, and that the rest of the world will recognize our own identity, our own history, and hence our own rights.
We heard Ines Abdelrazak, Sarah's guest, just a moment ago, talking about the fragmentation, as she saw it, of the Palestinian people. But Palestinians, as you were saying, have long maintained that they have a very distinct Palestinian culture and identity. How much do you think this move by the UN and perhaps the growth of marking of this day around the world goes towards acknowledging that identity?
Yes, absolutely. Well, our identity has never been in doubt except by the deliberate Hasbara or spin campaign of the extreme right-wing Israelis who tried to erase our very narrative, our existence, our rights, in order to avoid any kind of accountability over this tragic injustice that was done to us. But the world knows there was a Palestine, there were Palestinian people. We do have a distinct identity and culture, and we do have a unity. This is something that Israel tried desperately to destroy, in the sense that says if we fragment them geographically, if we fragment them in terms of the different types of injustices under which they live, that they will either, the old will die, as they said, and the young will forget. But actually, the Palestinians are extremely possessive and protective of our identity and history and culture wherever we are. So Palestinians in refugee camps, Palestinians in exile, Palestinians under occupation, Palestinians within Israel, we all share the same vision, not just the same past, but we speak the same language in terms of our experiences, our aspiration, and our dignity, and our search for our rights and for the vindication of our history. So this experiment, this attempt at fragmenting the Palestinians demographically, geographically, etc., failed because we are insistent on maintaining our own connectivity, our own continuum, as opposed to the continuum of the Nakba, of the ongoing ethnic cleansing endeavors and plans by Israel. So it's very important that we have remained steadfast, we have remained resilient, and we have remained persistent in facing all these Israeli attempts at our erasure or our displacement and replacement plan.
Hannah Nashrawi, thank you very much indeed for being with us on Al Jazeera.
You're welcome.